This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Ben Standing is our Washington Commanders insider. He's with us every Monday and Friday at 12 noon. He was in Baltimore yesterday for the 30-23 loss to the Ravens. We'll start where we start with Ben every week. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben Standing. Listen to his podcast, Last Man Standing, and read him on The Athletic. What'd you think?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think this is the game that's sort of the Rorschach test for how you view this team. If you're the type of person that is miserable going to bed Sunday night or waking up Monday when they lose, then you're obviously not going to be happy. You know, the defense left a lot to be desired. The cornerback situation, we've talked about it for months, has been a concern, and it was very much exposed in a game in which Washington tried to sell out a bit to stop the run. Did so a little bit early, but as the game went on, you know, Lamar just had a pick-your-poison situation and could do what he wanted, and I'm not sure how they shore up the corners. On the other hand, if you take the big-picture approach, you know, I don't know how you're still not, you know, wildly impressed with Jaden Daniels. I went back and watched the TV version today, and, you know, just to get to see it the way you guys did, not be, you know, not from the press box and weird angles. You know, his calm, his poise, some of the throws that he made, the decisions, some of the play calls from Kingsbury were really impressive. And it was a lot of, you know, they never seemed to, you know, fade mentally or anything. Once the Ravens started to get going, you know, the first half, both times the Ravens scored, Jaden Daniels drove them down the field, once for a touchdown, once for a field goal attempt. So I think on that side of things, another game where he really stands out and makes you feel, you know, continue to feel good about the future. But in the short term, you know, they haven't been able to stop the run at all. Like I said, the cornerback situation is fairly bleak, and you know, it's without Brian Robinson, obviously they lost an element of their dual threat situation. You know, with that, I thought this was also a game where the offensive line got beat up a little bit more when the Ravens felt they could, you know, pin their ears back, as they say, and, you know, rush. But that's how I would say, you know, short term, a lot of questions about the defense. Long term, Jaden Daniels just continues to be very impressive.
Let me ask you about Forbes and Davis. Any explanation as to why both were inactive?
No, we didn't. You know, obviously there's so much going on. We didn't get to that. The guarantee it'll come up today. I think here's the thing. I think for Forbes, my sense is it's pretty clear. He can't play special teams, right? He's too thin, too small, what have you, to deal with that. And so when you're a backup on an NFL team, you kind of have to be able to play special teams in order to justify, you know, your presence. They brought up Kayvon, I'm blanking here. Walk, yeah. He's a special teams guy, right? So he's playing you know, corner depth, but he's really there for special teams for the most part.
I'm thinking of Michael Walker. Who are you thinking of? I forget who.
Well, I'll look up it. Blank. Kayvon, they just signed a few weeks ago out of the Ravens. But anyway, so that's when gets the issue
Seymour.
With Forbes. Seymour, yes, thank you, sorry. For Jamin Davis, you know, it goes back to what we've talked about for months. I said back when he made the team, I didn't understand it in the sense that he's got 1 year left on his deal. I don't see how he's turning this thing around quickly enough to help them this year. And if he's got 1 year left, what does that do for you for the long term? I mean, the fact that F.A. Obada, who has not played at all since – last
comes
year
in
when
plays,
he had
I don't even know how many snaps he played, but he played a bunch of them.
Yeah, he was in there for about 32 snaps.
Was he? Wow.
Maybe 32% of the snaps. But in any event, he hasn't played in a year. He only started practicing fairly recently, and he's active over Jamin Davis. That one to me is more obvious. I just don't think he's ready to help, but the Forbes one, I just wonder if they have to make a call. Is he that much less as a guy on the field at corner to justify him not even being active? When you can have, hypothetically, put Sanders still back in the slot, have Forbes on the outside, and maybe have two guys in better situations for where you want to see them long term, but. Clearly, at the moment, I mean, he only played four snaps last week.
Right.
So, this is an ongoing trend. And when we've asked about kind of like what's the rotation, they'll just say, "Hey, we're doing whatever we think we need to do for that specific game." But the games against Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson are very different game plan types, and yet he wasn't a factor in either one. So that one is very. Fascinating. I mean, by the way, we've talked about this many times. The fact that didn't have a first round draft pick on the field selected between 2018 Daron Payne and Jaden Daniels this year is just unbelievably telling, obviously, of what's transpired around here.
Yeah. I think for me, the one thing that I would love to find out is yesterday you had, your idea was to load up the box and, stop the run and force Lamar to throw with single high and a lot of man coverage behind it. You got no big receivers. You got a smaller guy who can really run. And the only guy they have with legit speed in terms of their corners is Forbes. He struggled with bigger guys, but he doesn't struggle running. And I would have taken the 10 or 12 or 15 snaps, whatever it was, with what's-his-name, Seymour, and I would have said, we'll put somebody else in his spot. I need somebody to cover Zay Flowers, or at least have a shot against Zay Flowers. I'm sure they have very good reasons for it. They're not confident in him. And it could be like things that we're not even thinking about, like preparation and, communication and all of that stuff. But they don't have any speed. They don't have anybody that can run in their secondary. That's a problem. You look at Chicago, what they're going to be bringing in 2 weeks at receiver.
Yeah, no, look, I think Adam Peters and the front office deserve a lot of credit for what they assembled this year with the roster and all that. But, again, I don't think this is not Monday morning quarterbacking. When Michael Davis was the one vet that they brought in, you're thinking, okay, well, maybe he's at least a guy that you feel comfortable enough with to play, either a fair amount or when somebody else is struggling, you can plug in. He played the one game against the Giants. Malik Nabers torched him and everybody else, and we haven't seen them since on defense, and that's left you with – I think the other thing is, having to play Sanders still on the outside. Look, I think Sanders still is a gamer, and I like where he's, as a longer-term prospect, but he's, a smaller guy. He's overmatched often on the perimeter, and this is not where I imagine they would see him long-term. They're just having to do this now. Noah Igbinoghi is a slot guy. So that's how they're trying to find their best options. But, boy, to have to play your rookie undersized slot guy on the outside as a definition of your best isn't good. And then, for St. Juice, he's obviously going to get, picked on by people watching this. Well, he's getting picked on by the other teams because he's being asked to do something that he isn't. cover number one receivers. So, you know, it's just kind of a mess back there. And I don't know what, you know, I've been mentioning for weeks, I'm not sure why they haven't gone out and signed. You know, look, these guys who are street free agents for a reason, but there's some names out there. I can't imagine they'd be worse than what we're seeing right now. So you have to wonder at some point, does Adam Peters make a move, even if it's just to sign a guy who's a current free agent?
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be a topic here over the next couple of weeks. I mean, it is a glaring problem. Look, they're not going to face Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. And I don't know what you thought, but I said coming into this game that watching the Cincinnati game last week, Lamar Jackson's at a different level this year. And he was at a different level yesterday. He's great. They're not going to have to face that again. But like I mentioned, you know, Chicago loaded at receiver. Caleb Williams starting to get, you know, more confident. They'll have to face, you know, actually, you just look at them. They'll get Malik Nabers again. The Steelers aren't very good offensively. The Eagles and Cowboys right now, I mean, it's CeeDee Lamb. The Falcons, that's way down the road. They're pretty lethal right now offensively, but maybe we just saw a matchup that just was so one-sided that it's distorting it. But I don't think that, you know, their run-stopping has been distorting it all year long. You mentioned, and I want to flip it to the other side of the ball, that, you know, they didn't have Brian Robinson Jr. It's been a topic of conversation this morning. My personal view is I don't know that it would have mattered. I think they moved the football. They had an opportunity offensively to be in the game. The offense was it was another good day. Do you think that they would have tried to run the ball a bit more with Brian Robinson Jr. against that very stout run defense?
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, Robinson can also catch the ball, and, you know, finding ways to extend, you know, drives, you know, however it is to keep the ball away from the Ravens. I think that's a natural lean. You know, I can't say for sure, but you have to imagine that when you have when you're missing that kind of a guy, even if Cliff Kingsbury says, yeah, we want to stay a balanced offense focused on focused on running the ball, you have to naturally lean away from it knowing you don't have that guy. You can't, I mean, Austin Ekeler is obviously a pretty powerful guy for someone his size, but you can't run necessarily the same plays up the middle. And Jeremy McNichols, as fun as he's been the last few weeks, you know, there is a reason why he's, you know, bounced around the league. He's not somebody you're going to give the ball to a ton, especially against that kind of a defense. So, yeah, I have to think it does make a big difference to not have Robinson there, even if it's just, you know, viewed again as the threat, or you use him as a passing option, knowing that the other team, you know, the Ravens are going to key on him a bit. So I do think that had to be a bit of a factor. But again, you're right. I mean, Jaden Daniels, for the most part, was able to, you know, move the ball. You know, again, not as efficient as they were necessarily during their sort of the record breaking part of this early season. But I just think, and again, just at a base level, forget the Ravens. They only have, I think, as we would all be agree, they only have basically Terry McLaurin, Brian Robinson, maybe we can say Austin Ekeler as like legit playmakers. And everybody else is doing fine, but you take one of those off the field, now all of a sudden you even have less explosive options. So, yeah, I definitely think it was a big loss.
We'll just agree to disagree on that one. For yesterday, just yesterday, I'm not talking about in general. I just think that the game plan with him or without him was going to be to drop Jaden back a lot more in the game. God, I had something that I was going to ask you. Oh, I think this was one of the numbers don't necessarily reflect it. 6 catches, 53 yards, you know, 7 targets, 2 touchdowns. But I think we're really starting to see some real chemistry develop between the quarterback and Terry. I thought that was some high-level Terry McLaurin yesterday. I mean, just some really good catches on excellent throws, but still tough catches that he made. What'd you think?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the next-gen stats, you know, they track each week things like the most improbable receptions of the week, and McLaurin's 2 touchdowns were both in, like, the top 13 of any catches for the week. I mean, the touchdown, the second one to the front corner of the end zone, was just a ridiculous pass, and he made a great catch on that for sure. I wish they would sort of stop using McLaurin around the line for these, like, bubble screens and reverses, though that doesn't seem to be his game. But you put him down the field, let him, you know, find an opening or make a contested catch, and he is, you know, all that. So, yeah, I think no doubt that's becoming a huge key. I was watching, you know, on the replay, like sort of like the all 22 on the first touchdown. You know, you see Jaden Daniels like looking out towards like the right corner of the end zone. He's looking to the right, and there's Terry running the back, and then he just turns his head and whips the ball, knowing that Terry or feeling that Terry would be there. And it was a perfect pass, perfect decision. And, you know, watching Jaden, sometimes I'm already forgetting that he's a rookie because of things like this. Like, you know, he's making, I mean, listening to Tony Romo just gush about what this guy is doing. I know Tony Romo kind of gushes a fair amount regardless, but in this case, it feels, you know, it feels warranted. So, I think that's been a great combo. And, you know, look, to say that Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback Terry has had is, you know, like saying if I, you know, went on a date with Mila Kunis, that would be the you know, the best date I ever had. So, you know, it's pretty obvious he's
God, you mentioned her a lot there. Over the years. That she's your girl.
It's my default. Well, you know, attractive. We're all alike.
It's okay. Everybody's got their go to, and that's yours, clearly. All right. What about John Allen and Dorrance Armstrong?
Yeah, Dan Quinn didn't have much for us there. We'll talk to him in a couple of hours and get a sense there. You know, the fact that Armstrong gets hurt and is ruled out, you know, in the first half, not a I can't say it's not a good sign, but obviously, you know, these guys are all, you know, they're all tough football players. If they can go back in, they typically would. So the fact that they kept him out is, you know, is definitely notable. And then John Allen, like, typically the way these things work is that in the press box, we're told some player, such and such a player is out or has an injury. They tell us the injury, and then his return is questionable or whatever. Then later they may say he'll be out or he's coming back in. In this case, we were just told he was out. And I don't know if that means that the second he got to the sideline, they recognized the severity of the injury, or, you know, somehow maybe the initial report got missed, you know, got lost in the shuffle. But I think that's definitely notable. You can see on the replay on his last play, Allen's, that when he goes to the ground, he sort of grabs at his left pec. So I mean, it's definitely have to be something to keep an eye on, and we'll have, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see what Dan Quinn has to tell us later today.
Lastly, like, you know, to me, you know, it's six games, and this is typically when you start to kind of get some clarity on what you're watching in the NFL, although it can change a lot from game six to game 10, game six to game 14, you know, based on injuries and different things. But there's clear limitations defensively. But what's making it worse is that they're not getting the takeaways that Quinn and Witt Jr. were able to create in Dallas. You know, they've got four on the season, I think, total. It's near the bottom of the league. They got one yesterday, their first interception. But to me, like, they can, you know, you can mask a little bit of your deficiencies on defense if you can figure out how to get a takeaway or two. They got one yesterday. It was off of a bad throw, really, the only bad throw Lamar made all day, pretty much. But it's this is, to me, like, the one thing that could answer the biggest limitation the team has, or at least mask it a little bit more. Why don't you think they're turning the ball over?
Well, I think the, you know, I understand there'll be like a natural instinct to sort of question what's going on with the defensive coaching, but I give them a massive pass because they don't have the talent. Like the last two games,
no doubt,
what happened? The last two games, the defense gets 11 sacks. When you have a pass rush pressure, it doesn't matter whether you have this group in the secondary or Darryl Green and Deion Sanders. Like, you can't – eventually, if you don't have a pass rush, the secondary is going to get beat, right? So here, the pass rush helps cover, hide up the weaknesses. Quarterback doesn't have as much time, et cetera. Yesterday, I mean, there was some pass rush, but not nearly as much as there had been. And then on top of it, with Derrick Henry, you having to, you know, sell out to get to him, it left their corners in, you know, really one-on-one vulnerable matchups, and they just don't have the personnel to get it done. I mean, they're not – like, yesterday they ended up playing almost 50% man coverage, which is easily the most they've done this year. But that was, again, because of, like, was dictated by the fact that they were trying to stop.
Sell out to stop the run.
Yeah, and they just don't have the guys. So, look, this is where I'm said at the top. If you look at this from a big picture perspective, I think it's clear that the secondary, or at least the corners, is probably the number one concern you have right now. You know, we can debate another receiver or a pass rusher, but, like, you know, corner is, like, they don't even have enough guys right to be truly credible the way they do, at least at receiver and edge rusher. I don't think they can do much about that until they get more people. So, you know, I think to me that's the issue. Yes, of course, they absolutely need to get more turnovers. Joe Witt this week, when you know, he said he doesn't think he's ever had a team that went five games without an interception ever. So, okay, they got that one here, but, you know, I just think there's only so much they can do. And by the way, like, you know, this goes to the point of, like, with John Allen and Daron Payne, let's assume John Allen is back and able to go. They're getting double teamed, getting a lot of attention. I'm not saying they're having terrible years, but this is why you pay these kinds of guys to be dominators. And so that they are, you know, giving you that force either to help stop the run or get the pass rush pressure to allow you to have more defenders in the back to help the secondary. But it's not happening. And, you know, again, I'm not saying that they've been terrible, but, like, Daron Payne, I don't think had a legit stat at all yesterday in the box score. You know, I think I saw, like, Dexter Lawrence has 8 sacks for the Giants.
He was a monster last night.
All right, so he's got 8 sacks. I think Allen and Payne have combined for, I want to say, 3. And I'm not saying that's necessarily – it's not necessarily a fair comparison, but it's to say Lawrence is making – he's an impact player. He's making these plays. We have not seen that from these guys. And when you're paying those guys, that's what has to happen. And, you know, unfortunately, they're paying the price because they're fine, but not great. And the secondary is, you know, getting exposed.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I mean, it's just true. There's no Micah Parsons. There's no, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence. They had those two players with the Trayvon Diggs before he got hurt last year. But there's just nothing in the way of true playmakers. Their best playmaker is Luvu. But it's not enough right now. All right, well, you know, 4-2 still. We all would have taken this before the season started, with the two losses being an opening day loss to Tampa and then to a legit Super Bowl contender in Baltimore.
Not to mention, I mean, obviously Dallas got absolutely destroyed yesterday, and the Eagles are popping off about beating a terrible Browns team by a touchdown. So, you know, it's oddly – The thought of Washington winning the division actually feels better this week after a loss because of what we saw behind them. But, you know, they got to focus on themselves, as, you know, as the team would say. But 4-2 after 6 weeks, Carolina next. You absolutely would take this scenario.
Talk to you later in the week. Thanks as always. Good job.
Thanks, man. See you.
Ben Standig, everybody. We'll go around the NFL because Ben was just mentioning the NFC East. My God. I mean, the Cowboys and the Eagles are a mess. The Giants are actually in better shape. They could have won that game last night. We'll get to that and a lot more on the Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest plays and clutch moments.
Oh, look out! Touchdown! A miracle!
It's time to go around the NFL.
I love the quick snap here.
Pressure, though, on Goff. Stands in, going deep. He's got Jamison Williams for the touchdown!
How good's Jamison Williams becoming, Denton? Forget about the fact that they were playing little sisters of needy. 47-9. The Lions beat the Cowboys. By the way, if you're a score nerd, first time in NFL history we've ever seen that as a final score. 47-9. Detroit, in every way, shape, and form, emasculated the Dallas Cowboys, who have now, at home, going back to that playoff game, given up 44, 28, and 47 points in their last four home football games. So let's talk about a couple of things. I mean, this was a beatdown. I love the people that were saying, well, Dak threw that interception and it was about to be 10-7. That was the difference in the game. No, it wasn't. They lost by 38 points. They could not stop Detroit. If they literally, Detroit had crawled for yards. David Montgomery averaged 6.7 per carry. Jahmyr Gibbs as 5.3 per carry. Jared Goff was near perfection. He was 153.8 passer rating, just a little bit short of perfection in the game. And then there are two things. Number one, Detroit rubbing this thing in. They lost on, remember, the penalty on the two-point conversion last year on New Year's Eve. They had a grudge to get back at Dallas because apparently Dallas was mocking them a bit at the end of that game. They tried, by the way, up a lot of points. They tried throwing a touchdown pass to offensive lineman Taylor Decker. They ran a hook and ladder for one of the best offensive linemen in the league, Penei Sewell. They let offensive tackle Dan Skipper line up as a wide receiver and run routes. And they, well, the flea flicker to Sam Laporta was early enough in the game where, you know, it mattered. This was really, I mean, this was over the top. It was funny. But when they lined up that dude, Skipper, to run routes as a wide receiver, that's like in Little League or, you know, let's go to CYO basketball, fifth grade. The kid who's a center wants to bring the ball up the court, and you're like, yeah, let's let Johnny bring the ball up the court. He never gets a chance to dribble. And they're running this dude on pass routes. He's got a number in the 70s. Wow. I mean, I guess right now there's no hope of having Dallas, you know, get a shot at revenge against you. But that was some serious rubbing it in. The other part of this is Dallas is without talent. You know, they've got so much invested in the quarterback and in the wide receiver, and they handled it so poorly because they are a poorly owned organization. We know one. We've seen one. We've been part of one. They're done. They, you know, had a shot at a Derrick Henry. Would that have been a big difference? Probably would have been a difference. They cannot run the football. They're not even interested in running the football. Their whole offense is basically, can Dak Prescott get the ball to CeeDee Lamb? And when you know that as a defense, it's pretty limiting to an offense if you're capable. CeeDee Lamb was targeted 14 times in the game, only had 7 catches in the game. Dallas has gotten run out of the building so many times this year. It's actually kind of embarrassing. I mean, I know the final score of the Baltimore game is close. And then they get the 49ers off the bye week. Jerry said he's not firing Mike McCarthy during the bye week. That's not going to solve their problems. Their problem is a talent problem right now. Dallas doesn't have talent. They didn't have Micah Parsons on the field. They didn't have Lawrence on the field. I understand that. Was it going to be a 38-point difference? Probably not. I mean, they barely beat the Steelers. They barely beat the Giants. I mean, they got run by a New Orleans team who hasn't been anywhere near that since. Man, it does not look good in Dallas. I guess things could change, but where are they going to change, Denton? Where are their players other than CeeDee Lamb? And if they get Micah Parsons and Lawrence back as healthy players, what else do they have?
Got a bunch of L's.
Gave me one yesterday. Whole world was on Detroit. This was not a good day for the house yesterday. More on that when we get to the smell test later in the week. Let's go to the Meadowlands for a Sunday night football game that actually was really interesting to watch.
Sicky at the bottom of the screen. Joe taking off. Oh, he's got a ton of room. Might take it all the way. Inside the 10. Burrow to the pylon.
So I forget who I asked last week in terms of guests. But I think I said something like, am I nuts to think the Giants are pretty good on defense and not as terrible as we think? I forget who it was who said, no, they have a lot of talent on defense. So Joe Burrow ran 47 yards for a touchdown against pretty much coverage that went to one side of the field. And Chase Brown had a late touchdown for the cover, by the way. He should have gotten down because there would have been a three-knee situation, but he went in and scored. And that prevented the Giants from covering in the game. But the Giants' defense, Denton, is good. And Dexter Lawrence right now is a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. And a healthy Brian Burns is nasty. This team just doesn't have enough when they're injured on offense, and there was no Malik Nabers in the game, no Devin Singletary in the game. But if you've got Malik Nabers in the game last night, the Giants beat the Bengals. I'm telling you, they beat the Bengals if Malik Nabers plays last night, and they would have been a 3-3 football team. This is a much better football team than their 2-4 record would indicate. I think actually the weakness on the team is Daniel Jones. He still does not play with enough confidence. But they had the ball. They missed two or three field goals in the game. The kicker, Greg Joseph, who was terrible in Minnesota, is terrible for them. They missed two field goals in the game. They went for fourth downs because they didn't have confidence in their field goal kicker. They kept moving the football, kept having opportunities to score, and only came up with 7 points in a game that was 7-0 pretty much through like the middle of the third quarter. New York's got a defense, man. God, look, I'll be the first to admit I'm a Daron Payne fan. I like John Allen. They are nowhere near Dexter Lawrence, who is playing at an outrageously high level on the season. Right now, he's got on the season 7 sacks in 6 games from the D-tackle position. 7 in 6 games. He's a monster. Burns is too. Cincinnati got a much needed win, but man, they got banged up in the process. I mean, Burrow took an absolute beating in the game last night. He's tough, man, though. I will give him that. We've seen that since he's entered the league. He got sacked 4 times, pressured a bunch of times, but made some big-time throws and had a 47-yard touchdown run early in the game, which basically pretty much held up the rest of the way. Let's go to Philly for the Browns and the Eagles.
From the Browns 45, Hurts complete, wide open, Smith down the sideline, Devontae Smith into the end zone for an Eagles touchdown.
Yeah, that was a fourth quarter touchdown pass from Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith. The Eagles did not do to the Browns what Washington did to the Browns last week. Now, the Browns did have a Myles Garrett blocked field goal and a return by, I forget who it was, for Cleveland for their lone touchdown of the game, which kept them in the game. It was about to be a 10-point Philadelphia lead at halftime, but they blocked the field goal, returned, and all of a sudden the game was a game at 10-10. But Philly does not look right. Cleveland's good defensively. I said that last week. And they just aren't very good offensively. And it wasn't that they were great offensively. I think Philadelphia, what did Washington have sack total on Deshaun last week? Was it seven?
They had seven, yeah.
I think Philly had five or six yesterday. The guy still isn't very good, although, you know, he did throw the ball a bunch to the tight end, Njoku, in the game. But Philly is right now, you know, struggling. And apparently after the game, I don't even know what to call Sirianni. He really is lacking in kind of public, handling as a... There is literally no gravitas at all with this guy. He's a rube. He's a total rube as a head coach. And apparently he was lipping off to some fans at the end of this game that were riding him after they hung on for a 20-16 win against one of the worst offensive teams we've seen in forever. Look, the goal is to win the game. They got through it. They got through it with a win. They got A.J. Brown back. They're a different team with A.J. Brown offensively. Six catches, 116 yards for A.J. Brown on the day. Can you imagine had they lost that game? They get the Giants this coming Sunday. I think the winner of that game on Sunday, the Eagles would be 4-2, the Giants would be 3-4, has the best chance to compete with Washington for the division. Yeah, I think the Giants could compete with Washington. They are really good defensively. Look, Philly has the Giants on the road. They have the games with like the Jags and the Panthers and the Rams. They have the two with Washington. They've got the two with the Cowboys. But the other two division teams that were thought to be at the top of this division, they're messed up right now. Things can change, but they're messed up right now, and our team isn't. So there you go. Let's go to London for Chicago and Jacksonville early yesterday morning.
Doesn't get it. Instead... it's a touchdown to Keenan Allen.
Helps when Keenan Allen, a veteran wide receiver who is really, really good, joins guys like DJ Moore and Roma Dunze and a tight end like Cole Kmet. Look, Chicago's got some players. DeAndre Swift has played better here recently, had a good game yesterday. That's a bad defensive team they faced. I get it. And Trevor Lawrence had a fumble. Engram had a fumble. There were a couple of other near turnovers. But Caleb Williams, okay, whatever you want to say about the competition he has faced here recently, Jacksonville yesterday, Carolina last week, a banged-up Rams team the week before that, the last two games for him have been outstanding. He was 20-29 against Carolina for 304 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. He only took one sack in that game, had a QBR of 81.1. And then yesterday, 23-29, 226, four touchdowns, had an interception, and took three sacks. But his QBR in the game was 88.4. So he is starting to play better. I think you look at the Bears and you say, all right, their wins are over Jacksonville, Carolina, banged up Rams team in Tennessee, where they, by the way, had 93 yards passing. They also had a close loss to Indy and a close loss to Houston on Sunday night. That's the one really good team they have faced. But they get a bye week, and their next game is against Washington here on October 27th. They, by the way, have like the Cardinals and the Packers, you know, the Cardinals and the Patriots coming up. Caleb Williams, I mean, yeah, just the idea that people are giving up on him, rookie campaign a few games into his career. He can sling it. He can definitely throw the football. Let's go to Green Bay, Lambeau, for the Packers and the Cardinals.
Point now, Owen Papo. On third and four, here comes the blitz. Gardeck providing the pressure. Love lofts it up. Oh,
Oh, what an adjustment! Romeo Doubs! The 20-yard touchdown!
Wasn't there some issue with Doubs last week, Denton?
He was out last week. He was some injury.
Okay. I thought it was some personal issue. I love Jordan Love. I really think he's an excellent quarterback. And Green Bay is a very good defensive team as well. This game was really never in doubt. Green Bay rolls at home 34-13 over the Arizona Cardinals. They have a 2-point loss to Minnesota and that 5-point loss in the opener in Brazil against the Eagles. And they didn't play Jordan Love for two games in a row. Really good matchup this Sunday at Lambeau. The Houston Texans travel into NFC North territory. Again, they got absolutely blown out by Minnesota. That's a really good matchup. Two excellent teams. Green Bay is a legitimate, I think, contender in the NFC. Let's go to New Orleans for an incredible shootout and a first ever in the NFL.
Four-man rush. Mayfield in the pocket, throws end zone. It's caught by Otten for the touchdown.
So in this game, New Orleans scored 27 points in the second quarter alone. In a quarter, New Orleans scored 27 points. Now, one of those touchdowns that they got was a Rashid Shaheed 54-yard punt return. But they became the first team in NFL history to score 27 points in a first-half quarter and lose the game. They were down 17-0, then they were up 27-24 at halftime, but they did not score in the second half. Baker Mayfield threw four touchdowns. In the second quarter, he threw three interceptions. And then they got 136 yards rushing by Sean Tucker. Not sure that I was super familiar with Sean Tucker before this season began. But Tampa rolls past Spencer Rattler in his first game, 51-27. We had some points scored yesterday in the NFL. That is for sure. And then let's head to Carolina for Washington's next opponent, the Falcons and the Panthers.
Hits in motion. Cousins fires. Oh, touchdown Falcons, Drake London. Between a couple of defenders.
They didn't need 509 yards from Kirk Cousins yesterday. He threw for 225 and a touchdown. They got a lot from Algier and Robinson on the ground. Atlanta's really humming right now offensively. It took a couple of games, but they're rolling offensively right now. And Washington's next opponent, I think they've got capability on offense with Andy Dalton. I think Hubbard's a good back. He's got excellent vision. Washington's been run on. Deontay Johnson is a solid receiver, certainly a solid number two receiver. You know, they've got the kid, the rookie from South Carolina, Xavier Leggett, who they picked late in the first round, I think, or was Leggett a second round pick? He's starting to come into his own. He's a big dude, 6'3", 6'4". I think Sunday is going to be a test defensively against Carolina. The Panthers, you know, were right there at halftime down 22-17, but Dalton threw a couple of picks, and ultimately they could not stop the run. This could be a good game for Washington on the ground. I don't see Carolina slowing Washington down offensively, but I do think it'll be a challenge defensively, considering with what they have. But Carolina falls to 1-5 on the year. Atlanta improves to 4-2. The Falcons have won three in a row, and they have been close to unstoppable on offense. All right, we'll finish it up with a few more thoughts on yesterday's 30-23 loss in Baltimore. Right after you hear from a few of our sponsors, it's the Kevin Sheehan Show and the Team 980. From Rob, Kevin, you mentioned the drop by Zaccheaus is a big play early in the game. How about the fumble that Bobby Wagner ran right by? Yes, Rob, good one. Good pull I did not mention that. I appreciate you mentioning that. Yeah, Washington's up 3-0. Baltimore's second drive. It's 3rd and 7. And the center basically barely gets the ball off the ground, and it's sitting there on the ground, and Wagner ran right by it. Yep, and they ended up recovering it. They kicked a field goal. It was 3-3. That would have been a nice play. Yeah, you needed some of those to go your way. There was a ball sitting on the ground for anybody to get, but, you know, I don't blame Wagner. I mean, he's not thinking about a ball's going to be left at the feet of the center after the snap. But, yeah, they're going to have to – I think with this defense, especially in the team in the games in which they're playing better offensive teams, or at least not horrendous offensive teams, they're going to need a couple of takeaways to mask the lack of ability they really seem to have on the back end in particular. All right, that is it for the day. 30-23, a loss to the Ravens. You know, for me, it's not, you know, a moral victory at all. There were opportunities there. You got to get better on defense. You want to take advantage of every year with this quarterback when he's playing at a high level. He's playing at it at an exceptionally high level right now, Jaden Daniels is. We'll see. We're going to have some trade deadline talk this year, that's for sure. But before we get to that, it's the Panthers on Sunday. Back tomorrow. Chris Russell's up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.